Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
Whatever Happened to Grandad?
Hey, Pete, will you stop doodling in that bathroom and get down them stairs? The Shadybang's waiting round the corner and some of the lads is getting arrested. Well, listen, Jim, we'll never get him to Blackpool at this rate. What's your granddad searching for up there?
Well, it can't be his bottle opener. He keeps that on his watch chain.
Hey, wait a minute, I've got it, Jim. He'll be travelling in his kilt and his Highlander Gaelic. What's up, Jock? Can't you find your Tommy Shunts, eh?
I'm looking for my bowling club tie, Whittle. I'm not having Fred Wood passing comments on me not wearing it.
Jimmy, who's Fred Wood?
Now, don't forget to remind me grandad, Mr. Whittle, is to bring me back 4 sticks of rock, 2 giant humbugs, a box of shrimps, and win me a prize on a stall on the pleasure beach.
Right.
Ask me what stall.
What stall?
Mr. Higginbottom, up a ladder. What stall?
Oh, very joculated. I'll get your old grandad to tell that joke to Fred Wood. He hates him and all.
Mr. Whittle, who's Fred Wood?
With your granddad's raincoat.
Right, Mother. Hello, Mr. Whittle. Hello, Alfie.
Hello, Susan. Hey, who's Fred Wood?
Hi there, beautiful blue eyes.
Hello, Mr. Whittle.
Harry, is Father still messing about upstairs?
I pass, and I've shouted him till I'm hoarse. Honest, if I shout any more, I'll strain my lyrics.
Hey, perhaps he's looking for that little leather bag he always takes to bowling matches. Do you know, Alfie, it just holds 4.
For 4 bowls?
No, 4 brown ales. He borrows the bowls off his enemy, Fred Wood.
Who's Fred Wood?
Hey, here's Francis McDrake, the bowling champion. Did you find your tie, Grandad?
Aye, and guess where it was, Jimmy? In your bedroom, wrapped round a bundle of old comics.
Oh, heck, I'd forgotten. I was going to sell that bundle to my pal Ozzy.
Including my bowling club tie.
Certainly not, Grandad. I wasn't going to sell that. I was chucking that in for nothing.
Here, Father. Drink this.
Oh, there's my head. What is it?
A couple of tablets. One for your stomach and one for your hangover. Come on, drink it up while it's fizzing.
Yes, and I'll hold your nose, Grandad.
What for?
To stop the bubbles going up it.
That'll do.
Mr. Whittle, what's the matter with him? Is he ill?
Well, sort of, Jim, but it's nothing medicinal or surgical. To put it in an eggshell, Jim, it's the hair of the dog that bit him.
You mean he's got distemper?
Well, no, Jim, it's not distemper. It's just bad temper.
Whittle! Would you mind keeping your voice down? Oh, my head.
Oh, sorry, Peter. I won't do it again. As they say on the continent, I'll talk to your sotty vocky.
What was he up to in Blackpool last night, Harry? You were with him, weren't you?
Well, for some of the time, yes, Pat. You see, what happened was...
Mr. Whittle told me, ma'am. Me grandad nearly won the bowling match. His pal Tommy Twig won. So at night in the pub, me grandad started celebrating. Even got up and sang a song. Will you stop your tickling, Jock?
Shut up! My head.
Sorry, Grandad. Perhaps he should have an ice bag on his head, ma'am.
I haven't got an ice bag.
Well, stick his head in the fridge.
If I get my hands on that boy,
Look, Father. I've got to go out shopping. Just tell me what happened last night.
Well, Pete missed the bus back. That's what happened. Right, Pete?
Just the trouble. I cannot remember.
Well, you must have missed the bus.
I don't remember, Pat. I wasn't well.
You arrived home at 2 in the morning in a taxi from Preston on your own.
A taxi from Preston? You're right, Grandad. You weren't well.
Neither will you be in a minute. How do you know this, Pat?
Because the noise woke me up. You paid the taxi driver and wished him a safe journey back to Preston.
That's right, Grandad. Just after he propped you up against the front door.
Hey, but Pete, you couldn't afford a taxi. When I last seen you in Blackpool just before closing time, you were skint. You'd no money for the drinks you'd ordered. Hey, remember, you borrowed 50 new pence off me.
I don't remember borrowing that.
Quick, Mr. Whittle, make it a pound.
You be quiet.
Pat.
You be quiet. Why didn't the bus wait for him, Harry?
Oh, we did, Pat, for nearly an hour at the coach park, and then the driver wouldn't wait no longer, so we set off back.
Father, what happened? Were you lost or something?
I tell you, I can't remember, Pat. I remember the bowling match, the meal, then somebody buying me a pint. After that, my mind's a blank and I'm very worried.
Yes, he thinks he might have bought them one back.
I shan't tell you again. Will you look at him, Harry? What a wonderful advert for the evils of drink.
Oh, I think there's more to it than that, Pat. I only found out on the bus coming back. Fred Wood had been tampering with Pete's beer, slipping him a Mickey Finnegan.
What? Who told you that?
Your so-called pal Higginbottom. He watched Fred Wood do it in the boozer. Them last three pints you had was laced up with a double gin.
What? No wonder you couldn't remember anything, Father. Well, this explains it, Harry.
Oh, you're right, Pat. It'd be like losing your memory and having magnesium. We'll never know now where he went after closing time.
Well, after he drunk all those pints, he must have gone to the...
Yes, Jim. Yes, but after that, what I don't understand is that taxi from Preston to Manchester. Where did you get the money for it, Pete?
Look, I don't know. I had no money. I still haven't. Here's my jacket. I'll turn the pockets out and show you. Look. Now, look. Wait a minute. What's this?
Hey, let me see. A fiver. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 £1 notes. £9.
£10. Give it here.
Hey, look, Pete, a joke's a joke, so stop trying to bamboozle us. Where do you get this cash?
For the last time, I don't know. I cannot remember.
Now, come on, Pete. Try to remember. Who lent you the lolly? I mean, we know it wasn't Fred Wood, your archie enemy. So think, Pete, think. Where did you get it?
Well, Susan, that's what your Jimmy told me.
Well, I hope he told it to you better than you're telling it to me.
Yeah, listen, I'll start again. Your grandad was ill last night because Mickey Finn gave him a Fred Wood in his beer. the other way round. Your Jimmy was right when he said he was his enemy because my dad knows him. Not knows Jimmy. Well, he does. Everybody knows Jimmy. Yeah, perhaps Fred Wood doesn't, but he knows Mr. Sinclair. Yeah, no, not my dad, although he does. Fred Wood knows it. Well, what's the time?
Oh, time, you shut up.
It's not the drains, Grandad. It's Alfie laughing.
All right, that'll do now. Susan, have you seen my watch anywhere?
Your watch? No, I haven't seen it, Grandad.
Well, somebody must have seen it. Have you seen my watch, Alfie?
Oh, yes, many a time.
Not when I'm wearing it, you ninny.
Susan, did you know if you hold it next to your ear, you can hear it ticking?
Oh, Grandad's watch?
No, Alfie's head.
I'll thump you in a minute.
My head, keep your voice down.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sinclair. I'll thump you in a minute. Not you, Mr. Sinclair. Was it your presentation watch?
Eh? Aye. The one I got in the Merchant Navy for winning the ship's junior swimming competition. Got an inscription on the back. HMS Spitfire and the date, August the 10th.
1492.
That's enough of that. I can't find it, Alfie. I've either lost it or had it pinched.
Well, maybe you should report it to the police, because my dad had the same trouble. Here one minute, gone the next. No, not my dad. It was stolen, but the police got it back.
His watch?
No, his wheelbarrow.
Did his wheelbarrow keep good time?
Oh, yes, it never lost more than a minute, but see, sure all.
Well, I've looked everywhere upstairs, Father. I can't find it.
Hey, Mum, Alfie was just telling us a funny story.
It's not a funny story.
The way he tells them, they're always funny stories.
No, I was saying, my dad reported it to the police because it had been stolen. His wheelbarrow, and they got it back from next door where I'd lent it to him without telling him. The sergeant said he'd write it in the duty book so the night shift would have a good laugh as well.
Yes. Perhaps you should go to the police station, Father, about your wheelbarrow. A watch, I mean.
Yes, Grandad, I'll go with you. I haven't been to the police station since that time I was on off his bike and he ran over the policeman's foot.
What happened?
The policeman asked to see his license and insurance, and Alfie said they were in his wallet on the piano at home. And when the policeman told Alfie to bring it to the station, Alfie said, could I borrow a police van? It's a very big piano.
I know how busy the police are, Constable, but my sister is very worried when she insisted I come along to the police station to report it.
Well, that's quite all right, sir. We're here to help. What exactly is the trouble, Mr. Brocklebank, you said?
Oh, yes, Humphrey Brocklebank. Well, Juliet went out last night and she hasn't returned. And, of course, my sister imagines she's been in an accident or even that somebody might have taken her away.
Yes, I can understand your sister being worried, sir. Has she ever stayed out all night before? Juliet, I mean?
Oh, no. No, she's always back by 10:30. That's our bedtime, you know.
I see. How old is Juliet, sir?
Nearly five.
5 years old and she stays out till 10:30 at night? And she's been missing since last night and you're only just reporting it at 2:30 in the afternoon? Really, sir? Is Juliet your daughter or your sister's?
Daughter? Juliet's our cat.
Hey, Grandad, look who's been pinched. Mr. Brocklebank. So you've caught him at last, Constable. Bother Boots Brocklebank, the king of the skinheads.
Don't be cheeky, Jimmy.
That's enough from you, my lad.
No, he was only joking, Constable. He's a friend of mine.
Well, there's no accounting for taste. Master James Clitheroe and I have met before, haven't we?
Oh, we have that, Mr. Peabody.
Hello, Mr. Sinclair.
Hello there, Humphrey.
I've helped Mr. Peabody with some of his cases, haven't I, Mr. Peabody?
Oh, yes. And if you hadn't, I might have been a sergeant today.
Now, look, Constable, I'm his grandfather. If he's done anything wrong, I'd like to know about it.
Oh, that's the trouble. I can't prove he has done anything wrong. He just looks innocent, says he was only trying to help. Like a month ago when he stopped me in Radcliffe Road and said there were a gang of fellas near the town hall with guns. I radioed headquarters and ran round the corner, and there they were. A platoon of soldiers on parade.
Well, Ozzy told me. I didn't know.
I will just keep what Ozzy tells you to yourself in future. Excuse me, Constable, but I want to report a missing watch. I don't know whether I've lost it or it's been stolen.
Well, I'm busy with this gentleman at the moment, sir. If you'd like to go through that door there, sir, someone else will take down the particulars for you.
Oh, right. Thank you. Jimmy, you wait here for me.
Right, Grandad. I'll see if I can help Mr. Brocklebank.
Now then, sir, you've come here to report a missing cat named Juliet.
Yes, she's my sister's.
And she's 5 years old.
Your sister's five?
No, James, the cat, Juliet, you know her.
Oh, dear. What colour is she?
Juliet's black, his sister's pink.
Look, son, why don't you go out and play on the roof?
I will if you'll lend me a magnifying glass.
Magnifying glass?
Yes, so I can see if you've got a slate loose.
You're a cheeky young devil. Excuse me a minute, sir.
That's all right. I'm in no hurry.
I'm not talking to you. Hello, Kings Road Police Station. Oh, yes, Inspector. No, Sergeant's not here at the moment. This is PC Peabody speaking. Yes, sir. I see, sir. Well, I'll take the message down, sir. Right, sir.
Mr. Brocklebank, did you hear about me grandad getting stoned last night?
James, what an expression. You mean he was a little under the weather?
From the look of him this morning, he'd been under a thunderstorm. He doesn't remember anything that happened. The others left him at Blackpool and he came home from Preston in a taxi. Drinking's daft, isn't it?
It certainly is, James.
He went to Blackpool and spent more than £5 just to get a headache. If he'd stayed at home, for 10 new pence, I'd have hit him with a mallet.
Right, sir, I've got that down. Check it. Oh, all right, sir. The victim of the assault was Mr. John Frobisher, 148 Wellington Road, Oldham, travelling by car from Blackpool last night, and he gave a lift to a Scotsman.
Hey, Hear that, Mr. Brocklebank?
A row developed over some remark Mr. Frobisher made about Scotland, and just near Preston, they pulled into a lay-by and the Scotsman assaulted Mr. Frobisher, injuring his mouth and nose and rendering him unconscious.
Oh, heck! Mr. Brocklebank, he's talking about me granddad.
What do you mean, James?
When Mr. Frobisher came round, he discovered he had been robbed of £15.
Oh, no! That's where he got the money.
James, what are you insinuating?
Go and get your car started for a quick getaway. I'll go and drag me grandad out before Peabody remembers his scotch.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right, sir. And we have no idea where the Scotsman went from Preston.
Some of us have. The silly old scotch grandad.
James, I don't understand what you are talking about.
Sit down, Grandad, and drink your tea. You've had a shock.
I've not had a shock. It's ridiculous. I can't believe it. Me rob someone and assault him. I just can't believe it. I don't believe it.
Neither do I, Mr. Sinclair. You are incapable of such violence.
You didn't think that when you broke the pane of glass in his greenhouse, even your shoes went white.
My greenhouse?
Yeah, well, you were out at the time, Mr. Sinclair, and I'd replaced the glass by the time you came back, so I forgot to mention it.
Yeah, while he was bent down, I came up behind him and said, "Hawkeye!" He nearly swallowed the putty knife.
Look, we're talking about someone assaulting and robbing, and I don't believe that your grandfather could do such a thing. I mean, even if he was stoned, under the weather, I mean. It's all just a coincidence.
Aye. That's what it is. It's just a coincidence.
You don't know how you got from Blackpool to Preston. Mr. Frobisher gave a Scotsman a lift from Blackpool to Preston. You had no money, but you got a taxi from Preston and found £10 in your pocket as well. A Scotsman took £15 off Mr. Frobisher. You lose your temper when anybody calls Scotland. Mr. Frobisher called Scotland and the Scotsman lost his temper. I can just hear the judge. The prisoner is sentenced to 5 years for committing a coincidence. Oh, hello, Mr. Whittle. Come in.
Oh, ta very much, Jim. Is your granddad in?
He's upstairs. He's been having his nap, but he must be awake by now because the windows have stopped rattling.
Does he snore a bit, then?
A bit! One Saturday afternoon, a fella came and said he couldn't do his work for me grandad snoring.
What was the fella doing?
Working a road drill. Anyway, come in and wait for him. Come in the living room and live.
Oh, hello, Whittle. How are you?
Oh, hello there, Humphrey. I didn't know you were here. I'm not protruding, am I?
No, not at all. I called to see Mrs. Clitheroe, but she's out shopping, as though James and I were having a game of happy families.
And in this house, that's a laugh.
Happy families, I'd have thought you'd go in for them more sophisticated games, Hump. You know, bridge and baccarat and chamois de fire.
No, I'm not a gambling man, Whittle.
What about the church fete at Easter? You were doing your nut on that hoopla stall.
Oh, James, that's not a gamble.
No, it's a certainty you're going to lose. The prizes were too big for the hoops. Ooh, he's a crafty curate, that one.
Oh, James, really, he's a crafty curate.
Oh, you've noticed him as well, have you?
I thought it was you, Harry. How are you? Hello, Humphrey.
Hello, Pete.
Hello, Mr. Sinclair.
I just got round to remind you about tonight, Pete. The hot pot supper at the Rose and Crown. I hope you're in good voice. I'm looking forward to hearing one of them Scotch airies of yours. You know, it's a broad back, moonlit neck, the nook.
Yes, that's a good one. Mine's are like any lorry. How does it go? You push it.
All right, funny boy. I don't think I'll be going to the pot supper, Harry.
Oh, but, Pete, you haven't been in the Rose and Crown for a week. The barmaid's destructed with herself. I mean, she thinks you've gone off her. She's even changed her toothpaste. And she's using that soap that stops people whispering in your lug.
wag.
It's not him, it's his trousers.
Look, Harry, I don't want a drink. I haven't been out of the house since last Saturday.
That's right. Not since we went to the police station and heard about me granddad robbing that fella.
Oh, James, please, you mustn't say that.
No. He's right, Humphrey. I'm a thief. And a brutal one as well.
Now, Mr. Sinclair, you didn't know what you were doing.
That's right, Pete. He was under the affluence. Non-compost menthol, as they say.
After all, Mr. Sinclair, you did send the £15 to the police anonymously to return to the man.
Aye, thanks to you lending me the fiver, Humphrey.
No, that's nothing.
But it's preying on my mind. I've been awake every night. Every night this week.
Oh, now look, Pete, you've done everything you can. You've sent the money back. You've made respiration.
Can I come in? The back door was open, so I just walked in. I wouldn't have walked in if it was shut. Well, I couldn't if it was, but it wasn't, so I did. Can I?
Quiet, everybody. I think I've just heard the first cuckoo.
Now, don't be cheeky, Jimmy. You're welcome, Alfie. Sit you down.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Sinclair, but I can't. I've come to use your phone. No, not come to use it. I wasn't going to when I came, but Susan's not here.
You what? I mean, you can't phone Susan. She's out shopping with her mother and they haven't a phone. I mean, with them in the shops. Well, the shop would have one if we knew where they were. But we don't know. Och, you can't phone her.
I don't know what Alfie's got, Grandad, but you've caught it.
No, I want to phone home if I can, because I should be there now. I thought I had to be here, but Susan's not here, but so I remembered I wasn't supposed to be here now. I was supposed to be at home now and here later, so can I?
Can you what? Oh, phone. Yes, yeah, oh, phone, please.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Sinclair. I'll tell me, ma'am. I'm not there. I mean, I'm here.
Well, your body is. I don't know where you left your brain.
James, you are naughty to poor Alfred. He just doesn't think before he speaks.
Shall I answer the phone, Mr. Sinclair?
Aye, if you will, Alfie.
If it's the zoo, ask him if your cage is empty.
Hello, Alfie.
Hello, Mrs. Clitheroe. But Susan, I can't talk. Well, I can on the phone, but not to you.
We understand, Alfie. Come on, Susan.
I'll see you inside, Alfie.
Inside the nut house.
Oh, hello, everyone. Oh, we've got a full house, Susan.
Oh, yes. Are we having a party or something?
Yes, a fancy dress party. Why don't you put a mask on and come as a human being?
That's enough of that, my lad.
Oh, let the infant have his little joke, Grandad. It saves us having to buy him a rattle.
You don't need a rattle. You can use Alfie's head.
That will do.
Yeah, the phone call was for you. Hello, Mrs. Clitheroe, Susan. I didn't mean you. Well, hello, I did, but not on the phone. I meant you, Grandad. Mr. Sinclair, will you go straight away?
Go? Go where?
With Alfie's going deaf.
That's right. Oh, shut up. To the police station, they want you. You have to go at once.
Oh, so it's happened at last. Well, I'll be glad to get it off my chest and have a bit of peace of mind.
Now, don't you despair, Mr. Sinclair. I will contact my solicitor at once and bring him to the police station.
What are you talking about?
Well, I've kept it from you, Pat, to stop you worrying, but now you'll just have to know. You wondered where I got the money from on Saturday night. Well, I stole it. I got a lift from a fellow in Blackpool. Well, Constable, I'm here, so let's get it over with.
Just a minute, sir. Who are you?
Peter Sinclair. You sent for me about the Blackpool business.
Father, don't admit anything.
Oh, of course. I remember you now. That's right. I phoned your house and spoke to some stupid... Someone took a message.
That's right. It was Alfie, the stupid one. The one you spoke to.
Jimmy, we told you not to come.
He's my granddad, our man, and he's in trouble, so I've come to help.
In that case, we're all in trouble.
All right, Jimmy, but just be quiet and keep out of it or I'll deal with you later.
How much later? About 5 years?
Look, the quicker we get this settled, the sooner we can send that lad of yours home.
Well, I'm ready to cooperate and take what's coming. But if you can't remember something, you can't confess to it.
Oh, he hasn't confessed. He said he didn't pinch your watch.
A watch?
Oh, this fella tried to sell your watch to a shop in Blackpool, and the jeweller saw it was on the list of stolen articles we issued. Well, it was just missing, really, at that time.
But I thought you'd brought me here because you'd...
found his watch. That's what he thought, didn't he, Mum?
Yes.
Well, that is why I've brought him here.
That is why he brought you, Grandad, your watch. Sometimes you have to shout, Constable.
Oh. Luke, just wait here. I'll bring the suspect in. I won't be a minute. All right, sir, come this way, please. This is the man, Mr. Sinclair.
There's no need to shout.
I feel like shouting. Dragged all the way here from Blackpool just because I bought a watch of some drunken Scotsman.
Now, you weren't dragged. You volunteered to help us with our inquiry, sir.
Wait a minute. I seem to remember your face. That's right. I met you in Blackpool near the tower.
Yeah, now, I should think you do remember. You were crying in your beer because you had no money to get home, so I bought your watch off you.
Oh, good, they haven't put you away yet, Mr. Sinclair. Mr. Brocklebank's gone for his solicitor and he said, don't say a word. Not me, you. But I had to say, not to say, to them, you haven't. Till you speak to him. Not Mr. Brocklebank, his solicitor. Don't let on.
What are you on about?
Mr. Sinclair hasn't got to tell you that he's the Scotsman who robbed the motor. Mahomelang!
I didn't mean to kick your leg, Alfie. I was aiming at your mouth.
Now, just a minute. Mr. Sinclair, did you sell this gentleman your watch?
Aye. I remember now. I did.
Ah, well, thank you for nothing. And you can keep that blooming watch here. Just give me £15 back.
£15? Is that what you got, Father?
Aye, that's right. £15.
But, hey, that's funny. That's how much you stole off Mr. Frobisher when you bashed him. Get off me leg, Jimmy.
Mr. Frobisher, are you talking about the Scotch fella who robbed the motorist?
Yes, he is, and I want to clear that up.
Well, I don't know what you mean. It's cleared up. We caught him on Sunday. Young Scotch tearaway was sleeping in a lodging house in Preston when they found him.
You mean it wasn't me Grandad? Hey, Grandad, fancy, it wasn't you. It was just a coincidence. That's a laugh.
Well, laugh now, because you won't be doing much laughing when I get you home.
Grandad, don't get worked up, or we'll have to send for the doctor.
Aye, for you. I've not slept for a week. I've been on the wagon. I've sent £15 I didn't owe to someone I never met. And all because of you.
Constable Peabody!
You wee rascal!
Please.
I'll kick down your trousers and I'll smack you to your...
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Brian Truman as Mr. Whittle and Constable Peabody, and Colin Edwin as Humphrey Brocklebank and the suspect. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
Save me. She told me Grandad it wasn't all my fault. She said if he hadn't got tight, he would have known he was innocent. And he wouldn't have got tight if Fred Wood hadn't doped his beer. So Fred Wood was really to blame. So me Grandad went to the Rose and Crown to sort out Fred Wood. When he got there, he was that busy celebrating not going to jail. By the time Fred Wood arrived, me Grandad forgot why I wanted him and bought Fred a pint. Drinking's daft, isn't it? Ta-ra! Thank you.